everybody, and welcome to the weekly Nintendo News Roundup live, reaching every Friday night. The All In Crew breaks down the week in Nintendo news. Good to see y'all. Good to see you, Eric. How you doing?
Good. I can't complain. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing okay. I've had coffee, so I'm happy.
Nice.
Doing good.
I have caffeine as well.
Yeah,
I caffeine's have caffeine important. As well. Yeah.
Look at this.
Nothing like a rush of coffee on a Friday night, you know?
Yeah, man. Red Danger 9642, shout outs to you in the chat. Bowser's here. Happy Friday. Good to
Bowser,
see everybody.
One of the newest members of the Carpool Gaming crew was on Communication Error earlier this week, passing out virtual hugs. How you doing, Bowser?
That's true. Yeah, she'll be live on Carpool Gaming's YouTube channel here in just a couple hours, actually. So I appreciate you for spending hopefully not a couple hours, but at least a little bit of time with us here tonight before your show.
Not going to go into that much detail on the Pokemon Presents.
Oh my god. Yeah, but we have some stuff to talk about, but we should, before we do any of that, the way we start off all of our shows, we do need to thank our patrons, Eric.
We do. That's the whole reason that Bowser popped in. She wanted to hear us call her name.
That's true. So let's do that. Big thanks to all of our friends and supporters, patreon.com/allinpodcast, starting with our Golden Banana Bunch. Let's thank Rob Yapel, Sean O'Baggins Ashton, Tim A, aka NeoPrime33, aka Nintendo Dad Number 4, Phelan Ward, Bill Tucker, Marcus O'Neill, Liam D, Gamer Jason, Andrew Wilkins, Foolish Fuji, Alan Hashtag Look to the Cookie, Solo, and SAZ. Big thanks to our Golden Banana Bunch. You can get a 7-day free trial to the Golden Banana tier on Patreon, join their ranks, and see what all the fuss is about. But moving into our Triforce tier, we need to thank Josh Vaughn, the godfather of Tingle Love Tuesday, John Datfast Cummins of the Retrologic Podcast, as well as the On Topic Retro Podcast, the Globetrotten Jet Set and Nintendo Hub, and Sparky of the Nintendo Hub right here on YouTube, Adam Caparello of the Retro Groove Podcast, Shy Guy, the other half of our Shy Guy Mod Squad, thank you Shy Guy, Daniel Hinojosa, Dan Andaluma, Bowza, the Keeper of the Hugs, and the Legend himself.
The Legend himself, Uncle Randy.
Uncle Randy. Big thanks to everybody who supports us on Patreon. That is, again, patreon.com/allinpodcast. 3 tiers of support. See what works for you. You can also support the show by picking up some merch at bit.ly/allinmerch. There's also links to that down below if you're watching on YouTube. And, a free and easy way to support the show is to review it. Give us a 5-star rating if you listen to us on audio feeds on your podcatcher of choice. And if you watch us here on YouTube, your likes, comments, and subs are very appreciated as well. With all of that out of the way, let's talk about some news, shall we?
Let's talk about some news. Last week, we had the Nintendo Direct Partner Showcase, and this week, subsequently, we had another Direct from the world of Nintendo, another Presents, if you will, from the world of Nintendo. It is, once again, February, March now, but at the end of every February, Pokemon, as they are wont to do, celebrate their anniversary with a brand new showcase of everything we can expect from them in the upcoming year or so, and this year was no different. I will say, coming into this presentation, I really didn't know what to think. This probably had the most question marks of all the prior Pokemon Presents. This probably had the most question marks of any of them, in my opinion. However, after admittedly feeling like they kind of trolled second gen fans a little bit there a few times, I was personally quite excited about specifically the last two things they had to announce. And just really quickly, guys, yes, these Pokemon Presents are not going to be 40-minute endeavors. There was nothing wrong with this being 13 minutes. You can get a lot done in 13 minutes, and I think that they did a pretty good job with that personally.
Yeah, they typically are kind of in that 15 to 20 minute range. You know, they're not normally super long. Like most Pokemon Presents, they did spend like half of that time talking about their mobile apps, which, you know, is always the case. So it's like, let's hit Pokemon Go and Unite and Masters and Cafe Remix and Pokemon Sleep. So they did do that.
Pikachu has another hat in Pokemon Go now, you know?
Yeah, they always like to roll that out for Pokemon Day. We also live reacted to it here on the YouTube channel, so if you want to see that, that is there. They did sort of end with two bigger announcements, and I think the first thing we should hit on is just the big exciting one that they ended the stream with. The announcement of Pokemon Legends Z-A, Zaw, Z-Alpha, Z-Alpha, whatever you want to call it. They announced, and to be honest, like, this was a huge surprise. I saw nobody predict this. There was a lot of speculation about this presents. Nobody saw this coming. And if you say you did, you're a liar.
I said in passing, like, maybe we'll get a new Pokemon Legends game. Maybe.
But not but it was, this.
Yeah. This was not like a hard, fast prediction that I was jumping on. And I, you know, honestly, I didn't really know what to get from this trailer because, as a lot of people have already pointed out on social media, it just kind of looks like Tron via Pokemon. But eventually you kind of get to the end. You see all the people interacting. You see that person in the background waterbending there with Dragonair. But you eventually kind of get this nice big wide shot of what turns out is Lumiose City, the central hub of the Pokemon X and Y games. And yes, sure enough, this is indeed a direct sequel to Pokemon Legends Arceus. This is Pokemon Legends Z-Alpha. And I personally was incredibly excited when the Z popped up on screen. I understand that the Pokemon Z that I waited years for on the 3DS is not going to be this experience, but having, like, just seeing Pokemon Z in some form or fashion like that, it garnered a visceral response from me. It feels like Pokemon finally listened to something. And we did learn a couple things about this game, but just in terms of just sheer reaction, we're getting Pokemon Z in some way, shape, or form, even though it's not the way, shape, or form that I'm sure most people were expecting it to come. But we're also getting a follow-up to a game that many people really thought should have been the formula for the core franchise going forward. So regardless, I think this is a very big announcement, and the fact that it's not even coming out this year, frankly, makes me happy.
This is about the most exciting thing they could have possibly announced, in my opinion, for many reasons. First of all, going back to Kalos, X and Y, Lumiose City, like, this is a really cool, important generation for Pokemon. We did a retrospective on it.
We did.
I think late last year, and in celebration of its 10th anniversary, and kind of why it was such an important generation to Pokemon as a franchise. And so this is a big deal for a lot of people. A lot of people are very nostalgic for this generation. The fact that it is a new Legends game, I just loved Pokemon Legends Arceus. I really enjoyed the changes to the formula there. The fact that, you know, after the reveal of this in Nintendo's tweet, they revealed that it would be taking place entirely in Lumiose City. That is really cool and exciting to me. And like, they knew what they were doing when they did this logo reveal. Pokemon Legends, okay, cool, get hype. Z, what? Okay, yeah. Get hype. And then dash A, what does that even mean? Right? And I look at this, and, you know, and I've seen a lot of people, I was talking about this on the Nintendo Drive Tuesday night, like right after this happened, basically. And what this reads to me immediately is, you know, this is obviously Zygarde, and kind of like Zygarde's, like, you know, scale cell pattern thing with the Z here. But I look at this A, and it's got these, like, roots, and, you know, it talks in the trailer about, like, the urban redevelopment and stuff like this. Immediately, my head goes to, you know, especially with all the time travel flirting that Pokemon's been doing, with Scarlet and Violet in particular, like, is this going to be a situation where we are going back to the past and, like, building what will become a future Lumiose City?
In Pokemon Legends Arceus, that's exactly what it was.
Totally.
The Hisui region was the, I don't want to say ancient, but it was the feudal era, essentially, of what would become the Sinnoh region. And we are here, I mean, Lumiose City still seems fairly developed from the trailer, but I still think it's going to be set prior to the events of Pokemon X and Y. They go very far out of their way to push this whole urban development plan aspect of this game. And I do think that that is going to play pretty heavily into the game. And I think that one of the ways that I've wondered about the reading of Z-Alpha is obviously, you know, the Pokemon Z, like returning to the Kalos region, return to Lumio City. Pokemon knew what they were doing when they put the Z in the logo. But Z-Alpha, like the end to the beginning, almost right. Like this is what's going to lead up to the events of Pokemon X and Y, in my opinion. That was kind of one of the ways I thought to read it, if that makes sense.
I looked at it as, I mean, it's literally going backwards in the alphabet. It's going from Z to A. It's not from A to Z, it's from Z to A. And you look at this shot that I have here, we see this like kind of like sketch pattern,
yeah.
Blueprint thing. But this is not Future City. This is like steam chimneys, Victorian, Parisian, you know, sort of old-timey looking. And we literally see, I mean, we're literally, the trailer's showing us, we are seeing the blueprints in the sort of like old version of Lumio City turn into future Lumio City, Tron-looking Lumio City. Now, I don't think this is what the game's going to look like, but I'm saying that I think it is literally showing us kind of like what the theme of the game is going to be. A lot of people have decided that they're also historians on the internet, and they've pointed out that, you know, that there's like this French, you know, Parisian restoration thing that happened in the 1800s that this is likely taking inspiration from. That's certainly probably true. But I look at this and like, I think that is, I mean, how do you make a sequel to Pokemon Legends Arceus where, you know, the whole setup of that game is creating the first Pokedex, is establishing Jubilife Village becomes Jubilife City, Hisui becomes Sinnoh, blah, blah, blah. But now, I really think that we're going to see all of it. It's not just going to be setting up something. I think you're going to be directly involved, and you're going to get to see and interact with both. I think that could be a really cool... I think that's what's going on here, and I think that would be a very neat... sort of hook. And I think it also would justify the choice to put it all in one city, because a lot of people online have said, well, hang on, how are we going to get like a proper Pokemon game in just one city, you know? And I think the way you do that is like, if we're going back to the past before it's properly developed, you know, there's plenty of room for encounters and stuff in like undeveloped land, you know? So I don't know. There's a lot of potential here.
And that's not to say that the game couldn't also scale back the Pokemon encounters a little bit. Yes, this is a direct sequel to Pokemon Legends. That being said, Pokemon Legends Arceus was the first game in this spinoff series. I mean, one game does not make a pattern of, you know, gameplay. So, I mean, we've seen it with other Nintendo franchises before. Specifically like the Paper Mario franchise, the gameplay in that series has varied pretty considerably throughout the course of its run. So they could scale it back, because in Pokemon Legends Arceus, there was a heavy focus on continually capturing Pokemon, not just picking up, you know, a single species of a Pokemon to add to your team, but catching 30, 40, 50 versions of that species right. In order to continue to build your research and get more rewards that way. So it wouldn't completely surprise me if they did scale that aspect of it back a little bit, but still, yeah, to your point, you know, you can make a very large, a very deeply detailed and explorable world map if you actually give yourself an entire city to work with. So often, especially in Japanese RPG, cities are just kind of reduced down to a few buildings, a shop, an inn, and a weapon shop, you know, something like that. But if you decide you really want to go all in on this idea of really fleshing out Lumio City, I mean, you could turn that into an almost overwhelmingly large map to explore.
Yeah, I don't even know if it necessarily needs to be, like, large. I just want it to be dense. I just want it to be, like, I want it to be filled
stuff in. Stuff is there, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know that was one of your biggest things about Arceus.
About Arceus, about Scarlet and Violet. Like, give me stuff to do in there. I look at, you know, it's kind of baffling to me how people seem to think that, like, setting it inside of a single location means that it can't be a deep and dense RPG. Yakuza does this. Cyberpunk does this. You know, Grand Theft Auto is always usually in one city until GTA 5, you know, like they... There are plenty of games that base their whole thing inside of one city. It just needs to be dense and full of things to do. That's it.
And honestly, it could open up to some really interesting environments that you actually have to encounter wild Pokemon in. Because in all the other Pokemon games previously, we've always gone to icy mountains to find ice Pokemon, or volcanoes to find rock and fire Pokemon. Imagine going to like some boiler warehouse to have to encounter like Geodude or Slugma, or having to go to some like massive refrigeration compound in order to run into like Vanillux or Beartrick or something like that. Imagine being able to find like these really interesting takes on typically elemental environments that all of a sudden you can find these varying types of Pokemon at, like having some like flower garden or butterfly garden where all the fairy types hang out, fairy types which were incidentally introduced in Pokemon X and Y, you know, and stuff like that. So he was like, well, where's the mountains? Where's the volcano? I was like, this opens up some really unique possibilities that mean that we can maybe move away from some of those tropish environments that have kind of come to define not just the Pokemon franchise, but frankly, video games in general.
Yeah. And you know, there's no reason to believe that there will not still be, you know, some sort of battle focus or mechanic in this, because not only... Yeah. Do we see all this stuff? We also see the return of Mega Evolutions,
yep.
Which were sort of the big, you know, battle gimmick or whatever of X and Y. Those are apparently coming back too. So, like, presumably, battling is still going to be a big part of this game. Otherwise, why would they put this in there, right?
Well, I don't know. Regardless, I think that... Especially with the foundation that they've laid with the first Pokemon Legends game, that makes me... really, really excited to see what this game has to offer. And I do like the fact that they are giving themselves like just a set environment. Like, we are just, this is like our Mega City 1, if you want to, if anybody out there understands the Judge Dredd reference. Just, you know, just really going all in on this Lumio City thing and the urban development. And I agree with you. I do think it is going to take place in the past. So, and very interested to see how they take it from that angle as well.
I think it's both. I think, and you know, another thing that I should say, and this is maybe light spoilers for Pokemon Legends Arceus, you know, the whole reason Pokemon Legends is called Pokemon Legends is because they're not afraid to play with, because people might hear me saying time travel and going back and forth between the past and future and be like, Seth, why would they, that's crazy, that's so over the top. Pokemon Legends Arceus literally opens with your character going back to the past from the future as an emissary from God. That's how that game opens. So, like, I'm not that
literally
crazy.
That's how that opens.
I'm not off base. He or she goes back there with a cell phone that they use God, to communicate to God.
Yeah, God turns into a cell phone. That actually happens.
So I'm not super off base here, I don't think. And another thing that I just want to quickly highlight too, is that Pokemon's listening. They're letting this cook. This is not coming out until 2025. This is the first year in a long time, certainly in the Switch's life, where we are not getting a mainline Pokemon game. It is releasing simultaneously worldwide in 2025. And that's good news. That's very good news.
Yeah. And simultaneously did not confirm Switch 2. People.
Well, people were latching on to the fact that the tweet said for the Nintendo Switch systems,
yeah,
which like Nintendo has used in literally all of their language ever. That means nothing. There are multiple SKUs for Nintendo Switch already.
The Lite, the OLED. Yeah,
they got the logo for the standard Switch here. This is coming. There's a chance it does a dual release thing, but. I don't think so. I think this is, I mean, you know, maybe, but I think that this is just going to be on the standards. Pokemon's always the last vestiges of Nintendo hardware. You know, they're always doing that. Why is everybody so surprised by that?
I mean, we could get like an upgraded deluxe Pokemon Z-Alpha Bravo Charlie Delta Echo on Switch 2 or something, but this game is releasing simultaneously for the Nintendo Switch, Switch Lite, and Switch OLED in 2025. Yeah. But, I mean, regardless, another Pokemon Legends game. I think after the success of the first one, we should have kind of seen this coming, but regardless, still really happy to see it. The Nintendo Switch is home to some amazing Pokemon spinoffs. We've got Pokken Tournament on the Nintendo Switch. We've got new Pokemon Snap on the Nintendo Switch. And Pokemon Legends Arceus was continuing that trend, and I'm super, super stoked to see what the sequel has in store.
Yeah, I mean, I got to see it. I got to see it in motion.
Yeah,
I got to see it running. I got to see, you know, and I imagine it's going to be some time before we actually see what's going on there. But I, like I said, this is about as exciting an announcement as they could have possibly made for me. It checks a lot of boxes for me, and I am tentatively excited but I got to see the gameplay first before I actually get excited.
Yeah.
So,
well, something that may be able to hold you over until that game comes out is apparently the amount of serotonin that you're going to get from slicing open these virtual packs in Pokemon's new TCG mobile app.
Pokemon Trading Card Game Pocket. Yeah, I can't wait for this. This was, you know, something that people have been kind of asking for, like some sort of digital. There is like a digital Pokemon TCG sort of like game that they have online, but some kind of way to actually have it like accessible, ready on your phone, keep your whole collection there, you know, and that's what this is. It looks like it's going to be kind of like simplified. In terms of the actual battle mechanics, they did make a point to say like, hey, like we actually have streamlined a lot of the battle mechanics to make it like more of a casual experience. But I don't care about any of that. I just want to open up Pokemon packs. That looks so fun, so satisfying. That's literally all I want to do. I'm going to be slicing those packs open like it's Fruit Ninja, man. I can't wait.
Well, I am certainly very interested in the streamlined gameplay mechanics that they're talking about. I really, like, I want to see what they're doing. And streamline, you know, simplifying these games, I don't see that as necessarily a bad thing. I think there's a lot of interesting routes that they could go with that. But as long as the matches are at least remotely interesting, that's just going to drive the collection mechanic even stronger. If the games themselves, if the implementation of the cards is even remotely fun, it's just going to make people want to collect more. So I would imagine Pokemon understands that, and they're working to balance the streamlined mechanics as much as possible. That being said, we didn't really get a good idea for those in this presentation, but it still says coming in 2024. We don't even have a hard date yet. We've got plenty of time for them to tell us how the game itself is going to play. But that being said, they really leaned heavily into that slicing open the card pack aspect
of this game.
And I will say, right here on the screen, we're seeing one of the cards that you can actually kind of dive into the artwork on. I'll admit, that's pretty dope. That's really cool. I'll give it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I think this looks awesome. And yeah, like, even if it is a simplified gameplay system, who cares? Like, this is for the casual audience. This isn't for you. This is for the casual audience. This isn't for the hardcore Pokemon TCG fan. If you want to play
I'm not a hardcore Pokemon TCG. I haven't played Pokemon the card game in years.
I'm just saying, this is for my nephew. This is for, you know, my wife. People who want the experience of, you know, maybe they collected cards when they were kids or something like that. This is not gonna, like, tickle your funny bone. This isn't gonna, you know, get you all hyped up for hardcore card battles. This is Marvel Snap, you know, is what this is. So this has got to appeal to a bunch of different people. And I think that's great. Like, I'm all about that, you know? So I don't think you should come into this expecting it to be like this deep, you know, strategic battle
thing. I'm not asking it to be deep. I'm just asking it to be fun.
Yeah, I don't think you need to worry about that. I don't think you need to, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
When we play it, we'll see. But yeah, I don't think you should come in expecting it to be anything crazy. I think this is meant to appeal to the widest amount of people possible.
Yeah.
You know?
And I do love the fact that in other Pokemon TCG news, the Pokemon actually opens correctly now on the backs of the cards for the first time in 25 years.
I saw that. A lot of people pointed that out. Yeah, this is just a fun, like, you know, like, I think that this is what a lot of people are kind of looking for out of this, especially in the sort of post, like, when COVID happened, that's when Pokemon cards really kind of went into a new stratosphere. Pack openings on Twitch and YouTube and people just like hunting for Charizards and Logan Paul's buying, you know, all these Charizards and crap. Like that's when and
wearing them at WrestleMania.
Yeah, like that's what this is. Like this is a response to that. You know, I know people who buy Pokemon cards with no intention of ever playing the game. Yeah. You know, just to collect them. And I think that's kind of something that's nice about Pokemon cards. And for me, on a personal level, like I love Pokemon cards, but like I've not collected physical Pokemon cards in years because not only do I not have space, I also have no intention of playing the game. So for me, this is perfect. Like I can pop in here. They're giving you 2 free packs a day. I can slice open my free packs, see what I get, trade them with you, trade them with whoever else is playing.
Yep.
And have a great time. You know,
yeah, I'm definitely getting it. I will say I am tempering my expectations about what's going to appear in those 2 daily free packs. I'm certainly expecting like EX ultra rares or anything to be added into those free packs. I'm kind of expecting like, you know, 2 commons and an uncommon maybe. Right. So, you know, it's this type of mobile app also really lends itself to microtransactions as well. So I am I'm kind of keeping my fingers crossed about that and hoping that that's not too bad because Pokemon Unite is kind of leaned into the excess of microtransactions in my opinion, and I'd rather not see this app follow in its footsteps.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to have, you know, Like we have friends like Phelan, yep, who goes to professional like tournaments, and that's not what this is. You know, this is for the casual market, and I think I'm really excited to engage with this. And I, you know, like I said, I don't know how fun, even if the battle mechanics suck, I'm just there to open cards. Like I really am, and I think that's going to go a long way with this. So, yeah.
Regardless, this is something like this Pokemon really should have had for a while already, but it is nice to see them finally implementing it.
I want happiness like that guy that we just saw.
That guy jumping up on his bed after.
I want to be as happy as this dude who got a Charizard. Like, I want that for myself. That's what I want. And like, that's, you know, I think that's, and like, yeah, you pointed this out. The fact that you can go into the EX cards and have this immersive kind of panorama, you know, experience, like, it's just so cool, man. Like
it is really nice.
They really know what they're doing here. So this was low key a pretty exciting announcement. I wish we got a date. All we know is 2024. We don't have a lot of details. I'm going to be curious how the battle is. I'm going to be curious what the pricing model is, but, just looking at this for like what it is, I'm excited. I'm excited.
I'm tentatively interested, and I hope it becomes excitement. But yeah, that dude's so happy. But yes, those were by far the two biggest announcements of the Pokemon Presents. We got this TCG mobile app, and we got Pokemon Legends Z-Alpha, neither of which were dated. But certainly 2 games to be on the lookout for if you are a fan of the Pocket Monsters. And of course, they gave us, you know, like we've already said, updates to Pokemon Cafe Remix, Pokemon Masters EX, Pokemon Unite. You can go ahead and check out all of those updates from our reaction video as well. But 2 legitimately good announcements, 2 legitimately good trailers for games that have a decent chance of being really entertaining and being good installments in this near 3 decades long franchise.
Yeah. And I want to give them credit where credit's due as well. You know, like nobody cares about Pokemon Unite and all that crap. Nobody cares. And it feels like they're starting to understand that because they did go through them quick. They like, it was a quick pace on that. They're like, we have to hit this. You know, we have to communicate this, but they understand that the vast majority of their audience, it's a critique that they have heard, you know, since they started doing these, that people are like, why are we hanging on Pokemon Masters for like 5 minutes? You know, so they get it. So for all the derision that they caught for only for merely being a 13-minute presentation, they did move through that stuff very quickly. And for me, like pacing wise, this was probably the best Pokemon Presents they've done. Cause like that was we even notated it like on the live reaction, like, cool. At least they're churning these things out, you know. So I was really happy about that.
Cool, we got the legendary dogs in Pokemon Sleep. Cool, next.
Yeah, moving on. Yeah, we don't need to hang on this junk. Nobody cares. They know that. So, yeah. Yeah, it was a really good, I thought, a really strong Pokemon Presents.
Yeah, especially with, frankly, going into it with zero expectations. But that wasn't the only thing that happened this week. Fortunately and unfortunately. What do you want to hit next?
Let's talk about this Yuzu thing real quick. So Nintendo filed a lawsuit earlier this week that's been gaining a lot of steam online against this group called Tropic Haze. They're the creators of a very popular piece of emulation software called Yuzu. There's a 41-page lawsuit that you guys can... It's publicly available online. You can review it if you want to. One of the many things that they bring up during the lawsuit is that Tears of the Kingdom was pirated over 1 million times before the game even released. They claim that more than 20% of those pirated copies were executed using Yuzu. Now, Yuzu does not provide the ROMs or product keys utilized when a user chooses to pirate the game. It's only the software that runs the game being pirated. In the filing, Nintendo points to the success of Yuzu's Patreon support, which doubled from May 1st through 12th, just before Zelda released, as kind of a point of like, hey, clearly y'all profited off of, you know, off of like emulation of our game illegally. This case has not gone to trial yet, so there isn't much to say about it as of yet. Has not stopped rampant internet speculation from, you know, magical internet lawyers. And I want to point people, because I'm not going to comment on this.
Neither am I. Like, that was going to be something. It's like, I'm not going to have much to say about this. I am not an internet lawyer. I'm not going to even attempt to sit here and try to tell Nintendo what I think they should do in their very clearly deeply researched lawsuit against this technology that I, you know, throughout their findings, throughout their discovery, have probably learned more about, they've probably forgotten more about what's going on in the background than I'll ever know about this situation. However, it does mark a really interesting case within Nintendo's history, going so strongly after an emulator like this.
Yeah, it's a very interesting, it's not a black and white situation. There's a lot of middle ground here, and there's a lot of precedent established, and there are a lot of ways this could go. We're not going to know until it goes there or doesn't go there. There's so much rampant, what does this mean for the future of emulation? What does this mean for Nintendo? And is Nintendo going to bury Yuzu and all these people caping for a mega corporation who does not care about you? Spoiler alert. And again, it's the online, like, sort of armchair lawyer thing that drives me crazy. I'm not an analyst, I'm not a journalist, and I'm certainly not a lawyer. So I'm not going to come on here and tell you guys what I think of the law that I know literally nothing about. So if you're looking from that out of me, you're not going to get it. I will point you towards, an internet lawyer that I do like a lot. And, he recently on his channels, called Hoag Law, Hoeglaw, does an online live stream show called Virtual Legality. Hoag Law works in digital, you know, copyright and all this stuff and business management. And he's been a lawyer for many, many years. And so he did like a 2.5-hour live stream where he broke down every syllable of that lawsuit. So if you want an actual lawyer's perspective on it, go to Hoag Law's channel and check out his most recent episode of Virtual Legality if you really care to get into the weeds on this, because he did a really excellent job of that.
Yeah, so. Spoiler alert, if you're talking about law, getting into the weeds is something you kind of have to do. But the fact that this is already beyond a cease and desist, that it's moved to an actual lawsuit, I think is really, really interesting. And I'm sure it's going to take forever to resolve the way things like these do. But regardless, we will keep you guys updated.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But I'm just here to report on the headline. I'm not here to offer, you know, any commentary. Okay, well, the next thing we have here, this is pretty exciting. This has been last year was already a terrible, unprecedented year for the video game industry in terms of layoffs and stuff like this. This has been something that has been ongoing a lot, even just in the past week. EA suffered layoffs. Sony suffered layoffs.
Insomniac blew my mind. But
It was Insomniac, Guerrilla, and Naughty Dog, their three most successful studios, all suffered layoffs. This week, it's terrible, crazy stuff. The AAA games industry is imploding. And Embracer Group is losing, laying off people. And like, there's rumors that Gearbox and Saber Interactive are announcing departures from Embracer Group as soon as next week. So who knows? But the thing that I wanted to highlight, a little bit of positivity in all of this, is Toys for Bob.
Yeah.
Who made headlines last year for the closure of their like physical studio. But the actual studio itself is alive and well. And not only is it alive and well, it has
departed.
Studio
is its people.
That's right. It has departed from Microsoft and Activision and is now officially indie. In a post on their website, toysforbob.com, a blog post that just says, "We're going indie. We're thrilled to announce that Toys for Bob is spinning off as an independent game development studio. Over the years, we've inspired love, joy, and laughter for the inner child and all gamers. We've pioneered new IP and hardware technologies in Skylanders. We've raised the bar for best-in-class remasters in Spyro Reignited Trilogy. We've taken Crash Bandicoot to innovative, critically acclaimed new heights. With the same enthusiasm and passion, we believe that now is the time to take the studio and our future games to the next level. This opportunity allows us to return to our roots of being a small and nimble studio. To make this news even more exciting, we're exploring a possible partnership between our new studio and Microsoft. And while we're in the early days of developing our next new game and a ways away from making any announcements, our team is excited to develop new stories, new characters, and new gameplay experiences. Our friends at Activision and Microsoft have been extremely supportive of our new direction, and we're confident that we will continue to work closely together as part of our future. So keep your horns on and your eyes out for more news. Thank you to our community of players for always supporting us through our journey. We can't wait to share updates on our new adventure as an indie studio. Talk to you soon." Horns on.
Yeah, this made me incredibly happy when I saw this for a couple reasons. One, Toys for Bob, yes, has made some amazing games, which they highlighted in the press release. You know, I certainly know them from my psychotic Skylanders collecting days. But of course, yeah, the Crash Insane Trilogy, Spyro Reignited Trilogy, that they both released to great acclaim. This is a studio that needs to be protected. And the fact that they are in a position where they were able to do this and they took advantage of that could honestly mean a lot more than they even realize for the future of this industry. Now, I know that there are a lot of studios that are owned by larger publishers, that are owned by larger companies, that due to the letter of the law and the specific wording of their contracts and of their agreements, probably aren't in a position where they can do something like this. However, I'm sure you've got a lot of companies falling under the umbrella of these larger corporations, the Embracer Groups, the Microsofts, the Activisions, the PlayStations and Sonys of the world, who have seen these rampant layoffs and are probably looking line by line through their agreements right now to see if this is a possibility for them. And I think that now that Toys for Bob has kind of opened the door for this and shown people that this is possible to protect themselves and their employees from layoffs, you may very well see a lot more studios follow in these guys' footsteps sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, if they can get away with it, Toys for Bob, according to Wikipedia, employs 180 people as of 2021. I'm sure that number's gone down since then. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, it really kind of depends on what the new, we don't know what the new scale and scope of the studio is, especially if there's not a physical like place that they go and work anymore. That's a situation that might change. I don't know, but regardless, they're now fully independent and they are not operating expressly under the Microsoft, Activision, Blizzard King umbrella, which is, yeah, it's good news. Now, I mean, they're still going to make games for those people utilizing that IP. It's a very thinly veiled, like, hey, we're making a new Spyro.
Yeah.
In that press release. So that is still going to be published, funded, whatever, by Microsoft, Activision and all that. So,
yeah. But hopefully whatever this new agreement is means that, you know, Toys for Bob employees can go to work every day without the looming threat of will or will I not have my job at the end of the day hanging over their heads. And right. like, because of how prevalent I've got to imagine that feeling is throughout the industry at this point, like that alone is probably going to contribute tons to the quality of people's work. And I mean, just their life in general. And that alone makes me happy. The fact that the sigh of relief that was probably felt by everybody at that studio after they were able to do this, like, good on you guys. And I'm so happy for you.
Happy for them too. I hope it's sustainable. I hope it's a sustainable model for them in the future. They seem pretty confident and happy. And that is good enough for me for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of indie games, Eric.
Speaking of indie games.
Some not so good news, unfortunately.
Yes. It certainly isn't exclusive to layoffs when it comes to larger companies just kind of arbitrarily making cuts and rulings regarding smaller studios. And well, okay, this is a terrible segue, folks. Bellatro unfortunately has come under fire for apparently, and I put about five sets of air quotes around that, apparently containing mechanics which inspire gambling, and has such been removed from a couple online storefronts, unable to be purchased by new customers. There's not enough audible size in the world.
Yeah, I'm not going to read the whole statement here, but I'll read the salient points, because like half of the statement is just like, hey, the game's done really well, though, and thank you all so much.
Yeah.
But the you know, to get into the heart of the matter here, the statement reads, to our amazing fans, we are aware that Bellatro has been temporarily removed from sale on a number of digital stores in some countries on console platforms, meaning that some new customers will be unable to buy it. Now, quick note, the biggest market that this has been removed from is console markets in Europe. European console platforms do not currently have access to Bellatro. Presently, we cannot estimate with complete confidence which stores it will be removed from, but our hope is that only a minority of stores will be affected. We are highly confident that the game will remain available on PC stores, including Steam. Anyone who has already purchased the game will still be able to play it. Please rest assured we are working as hard as we can to get the game back on sale as soon as possible. This is not an issue with the stores themselves. However, a reaction to an overnight change to Bellatro's age rating from 3+ to 18+ by a ratings board without any advance warning, due to a mistaken belief that the game, quote, contains prominent gambling imagery and material that instructs about gambling, end quote. Bellatro does not allow or encourage gambling, and we fundamentally believe the ratings decision is unfounded. Bellatro is developed by someone who is staunchly anti-gambling, and painstaking care has been taken to ensure that the game does not feature gambling mechanics of any kind. Yeah, this is crazy. I mean, this is, you know, this is completely unfounded. It's, you know, it's not going to stick. And hopefully this gets resolved sooner rather than later. It's wild. It's insane.
Yeah, this is, I don't know how something like this happens, but it honestly feels to me like it's just a case of somebody seeing that, oh, there's playing cards. Oh, there's the words full house, the words two pair. This must have to do with gambling. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Bellatro just simply uses playing cards and poker hands as a filter through, you know, their roguelike mechanics. There's jokers and chips involved, but you can't actually bet anything. It's a point-based system that you're trying to strategically create hands and strategically manipulate multipliers and chip counts within the game without actually having to bet anything. The only risk reward within the game is whether or not you are developing a winning strategy, an objectively winning strategy. And the only RNG, the only random chance in the game is essentially, you know, what jokers are going to be in the shop, what cards you're going to draw that you have to create these hands for. But this is about as removed from gambling as a magician's sleight of hand that just happens to use playing cards. So I assume and hope, mostly hope, that this is going to be resolved quickly, because Especially for a small indie studio, that is a massive market that now no longer has access to this game that they've painstakingly created. So for all you guys, I hope this gets taken care of soon.
It's a solo dev. And the thing about Bellatro is it's been a massive success. The game, I mean, the game's a game of the year contender. It's an early game of the year. The game's excellent. It received just this past week a 10 out of 10 from Nintendo Life, which they highlight in their statement. So, I mean, like the unfortunate thing about situations like these is, because this also happened with Sunshine Shuffle last year, which is a Strange Scaffolds game about like animals on a boat playing poker. Similarly, does not teach you about gambling whatsoever, features no microtransactions, nothing. So there were a few days they had to actually delay their launch in certain markets like North America, like on Nintendo Switch, in order to kind of curb the resistance they were finding there. So this has happened before, unfortunately, and what it is it's, you know, just old people, frankly, that are at the ESRB or wherever, the ratings boards in question, that have no idea what they're looking at. And it reminds me of like when Grand Theft Auto was being derided, like, do you mean to tell me you can kill prostitutes for points? You know, or it's like that, you know, that those are actual things that people would say, the Jack Thompsons of the world and stuff like that, completely misunderstanding what they're looking at.
Yeah. You know, this is Europe, so I'm sure it's the Peggy board, but regardless, right. I'm sure it's British Jack Thompson, essentially.
It's just somebody over there that's looking at this stuff and saying, oh, well, this is gambling, therefore it falls under this, you know, bylaw or whatever that we have, whatever guideline we have in place for stuff like this. So, I mean, it's crazy. It's wild. It's not going to stick. I'm hopeful, like you, I'm hopeful that it's just resolved quickly so that people can continue, you know, to buy and play this fantastic game.
I just hope that moving forward, because, you know, as you've already talked about, this is not the first time that this has happened. The fact that this has happened multiple times where people are just arbitrarily making these decisions, sending out these new ratings, and it's having these sweeping effects on the availability, ergo the profitability and the, you know, the livelihood of the people behind these games without really so much as doing even a remote amount of due diligence to find out whether or not that game is worth the 18 plus rating based on the, you know, the rules that you yourself have laid out. If they had played this game for 10 minutes, this wouldn't have happened. And the fact that we're, you know, this is now a pattern of behavior from Europe, I hope that they've learned, I guess would probably be the best way to put it. I just don't want this to happen. I don't want this story to pop up every few months with a game just because it happens to feature like a playing card poster or some type of imagery. Like there's a roulette wheel somewhere in the background of this stage. Ergo, this game features gambling. So I hope that that doesn't become another negative trend that we start seeing in this industry.
Yeah, I mean, the unfortunate thing is that these are happening, so far at least, primarily to independent developers who, you know, I mean, the launch window for an indie game is very important. Now, Bellatro has had a little bit of time and they've shared like some of the tremendous launch success that they've already had. But like launch window is very important for an independent game, for a game made by one person. You know, this is a big deal. And if they had more like cachet, like if I were in a better position, if I were that person, I'd sue. I'd literally say like, look, you guys have like demonstrably affected my living income by removing this from sale in a major market for an extended period of time. But I'm sure that person does not have the means to do that.
To sue Europe, yeah, probably.
Yeah, exactly. The ratings board. So like, I, you know, that's the unfortunate thing. If they did this to if they did this to a Microsoft or whatever, they would get hit from it and they would learn today, you know? So that's the thing that worries me is that it's going to be smaller people that keep getting hit by this, people who can't do anything about it, and no lessons are going to be learned, you know? So we'll see. We'll see. But hopefully this is reversed soon and hopefully people can go back to buying Bellatro. It's really good.
Yeah, about to say, yeah, because the game is really good and you all should play it.
It's a wonderful, awesome. Wonderful game. Yeah.
Honestly, speaking of another game that you guys should be playing, a game that we're going to be talking about in tomorrow's episode of All In a Nintendo Podcast, as a matter of fact, is Splatoon 3. In addition to just dropping a ton of DLC in the form of Side Order and some new table turf stuff and all kinds of interesting new additions, it's a brand new season, the fresh season of Splatoon, and that means even more fun little goodies have been added to the game. In addition to, like, one of the things that makes me happy about this is all of these retro pieces of gear that are apparently going to be coming back into the title very soon.
Yeah, yeah, they're bringing, like, a bunch of Splatoon 2 stuff. There's a ton of Splatoon 2 nostalgia.
Yeah.
Coming back into the game. So that's going to be a big
retro
part.
But yeah, Splatoon 2.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big part of this new fresh season 2024 just kicked off today as we sit here. So that's exciting. Shy Guy in our community is coordinating some community gaming later tonight as we're live here. So around 10 p.m. Eastern, there's going to be some community members in the All In community jumping on some Splatoon.
Yes.
I'll be there. I'll be hanging out, and we're going to play in the Discord. I'm probably not going to stream it here on the channel, but we're going to be streaming it in the Discord, I think, Shy Guy was talking about. So if anybody is listening to this now and wants to jump in with us on some Splatoon later tonight, you're more than welcome. There's links in the video description to join our free, friendly, and welcoming Discord. We'd love to have you. If you're listening to this after the show goes live, it's probably too late. But hey, anybody watching now who wants to join us can.
Just another reason you guys should really be catching these live.
That's right. And in addition to that, we also know what the next Splatfests are going to be. For us here in North America and in European regions, the next Splatfest is happening March 22nd, the weekend of March 22nd, the same weekend that Princess Peach Showtime comes out. We're getting a new Splatfest. This one, which instrument would you play? Drums, guitar, or keyboard?
Says the guy with a literal guitar sitting behind him on camera. Ladies and gentlemen, I think you know what team Seth is going to be going for. Although, weirdly, you told me something. This might be the first time you and Anastasia, your wife, are on different teams.
Yeah, like, I've played guitar for, you know, over 20 years. And my wife plays drums. So I imagine my wife and I usually play Splatfest together. I think this will be the first one that we probably are going to be on opposite teams. Because, like, how do I not pick guitar? I would be lying to myself if I didn't pick guitar. So, yeah.
And weirdly, you know, I have so much nostalgia for the 80s. My initial gut reaction is just to go team keyboard. I don't know if that, you know, I don't know what that makes me. But that was just my initial, it's like, That feels like the big man choice to me as well. I feel like Fry is Fry is absolutely drums. Shiver is 1000% guitar, and big man is absolutely on the keyboards.
I think they're always listed off in order. Like, I think drums is Shiver, guitar is Fry, keyboard is big man. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's how they always do it. I think they list it, like, literally from left to right. So I don't know. We'll find out. March 22nd, that's happening. And this is going to be an interesting one. I feel like this is one of the more interesting, Splatfests I think I've seen. And it feels like they're kind of, if that is the layout, it feels like maybe they're throwing Fry another win here, because Fry, you know, was losing like constant. It was always Shiver winning, and Big Man won a few, but Fry, I think it only won one prior to the last Splatfest, where she did win for Friday. And you know, it's Friday.
Yeah.
So I think that made a lot of sense, and she won that one. So maybe Nintendo is trying to throw her another bone here. We'll see what happens.
But I mean, in terms of just a straight up objective popularity contest, outside of the filter of it being a Splatfest or something, I would imagine that guitar would win this every time. So I don't know. We'll see through the filter of a Splatfest what happens, because, I mean, we've seen really anything can happen in these.
It's true. Although, another thing that I didn't even know until Shy Guy told me, this will be the first Splatfest happening with the new fresh season that just started. Yeah. They have actually changed the way that Splatfests are scored. So in addition to everything they were scored on before, they're now also including scoring for second place. So you will still get points even if your team was in second place. That will factor in as well. So we're going to see how that impacts things. That might throw a bit of a wrench in the works. And I think, you know, there's so many people, especially when it comes to like Tricolor and stuff like this.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been complaining about the balance of Splatfest in Splatoon 3 since launch. So they're trying anyway to do some stuff to curb some of that.
Yeah. And the fact that there's a much larger chance that you're going to be able to walk away with any points, a 66% chance, as opposed to a 33% chance that you're going to be walking away with points, should boost participation pretty substantially, as long as they make sure people know that. Because, you know, I didn't, you know, I only found about that recently because of Shy Guy as well.
That's the only reason I knew. So we'll see what happens. Interesting one. This is actually another situation where Japan is getting a different Splatfest than we are. So this is a funny one.
I knew it. Like, whenever Japan gets their own, it's always like three different flavors of a very specific like snack or pastry in Japanese culture. So, and I knew it was going to be exactly the same way with this time. And sure enough, it's three different flavors of, what are they, potato chips?
Yeah, these are potato chips. It's Yusashio, which is just salt, like your regular standard salted potato chip, versus consomme, which is like a beef, kind of barbecue adjacent, like beef flavor. And you got Norshio, which is seaweed salt. So yeah, that's kind of funny. It's just always kind of funny and interesting when Japan gets their own Splatfest like this. They even got like custom artwork, you know, made for these potato chip. It's just kind of cute and fun and dumb. I don't know. Kind of into it.
I mean, if we're talking like, honestly, I know this is a video game and it's not real, but we're talking about evolved sea life here. They should be deathly afraid of salt.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. I quite like, I don't know if you've ever had seaweed chips, but I quite like them.
It's been a long time. Like, they're not bad. Yeah. But I mean, even within the filter of it being Splatoon, and like, I've got to imagine that most of the denizens of Inkopolis and Splatsville would probably be eating seaweed salt anyway. So,
yeah.
But I do wonder who's got the seaweed salt this time.
Yeah, we'll see. It's just kind of a funny, it's always just kind of a funny little thing whenever Japan gets their little snack-based Splatfest.
I wonder what they think of, you know, Europe and America's Splatfest. I wonder how they view ours.
Who cares about guitar and drums? We're talking about ships over here.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, obviously people in Japan know what guitars, drums, and keyboards are, so I'm not sure what the disconnect was there. Like, is music just so differently popular in Japan that they decided not to include musical instruments in this Splatfest?
I don't know, but I would not be shocked if this was some sort of like marketing collaboration, like maybe
like an actual paid cross promotion or something.
Yeah, like go into, you know, whatever, 7-Eleven or Lawson and grab your Splatoon chips, you know. So who knows? It'd be an easy one to do.
Ask our friend over at Tokyo Game Life podcast.
We'll see. We'll see. I don't know if that's what they're doing, but that would be kind of funny and cool. Well, yeah, a lot of stuff to look forward to with Splatoon. A lot of reasons to play some Splatoon 3 right now. Wanted to hit this real quick. A little bit of breaking news that I caught just before we went live. Monster Hunter is doing a special 20th anniversary, what they're calling special program, Tuesday, March 12th, 4:00 a.m. Pacific. Woof. So that's going to be pretty early. Celebrating 20 years of Monster Hunter, revealing your top 10 monsters of all time and more. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, we've already got confirmation that the first Monster Hunter Stories is coming to Nintendo Switch. We already know what the next Monster Hunter game is. So there is, like, there's enough there that we could find out about. I certainly don't imagine we're going to be hearing anything new about Monster Hunter Rise or you know, its expansion. I mean, between that and Monster Hunter Wilds, there's a few surprises that they could. I'm like, I'm not trying to get my hopes up necessarily. Congrats on 20 years, Monster Hunter. But whenever a presentation, whenever a direct like this pops up, the gut thought is there's going to be something newsworthy. Some newsworthy announcement or trailer or reveal is going to happen here. And if there's not like a massive big announcement, a lot of people have found similar presentations disappointing to the point where I've got to imagine anybody deciding to put one of these on knows at this point they have to have something at least, you know, relatively exciting in their back pocket for the end of it. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I think there's reason to believe that there will be. Well, first of all, I know that the Monster Hunter itself probably has at least some autonomy from Capcom at large. But if I'm looking at the way that Capcom at large usually communicates these things, Capcom is actually pretty good about setting expectations. If Capcom is not going to have new information to share, they will normally say, hey, like, this is what we're showing and don't expect anything else. Now, that doesn't stop people online from still coming in and expecting other things. But, you know, Capcom is usually quite good about saying that. So I feel like if they didn't have anything to share about one of their video game projects that are in the pipe, like the Stories remaster, like Wilds, you know, I'm not saying that I expect to see either or both or none, you know, there at all. I'm coming into this with zero expectations, but it's, you know, you would think that if they didn't, they would say that they didn't,
exactly, you know,
given Capcom's precedent. So there might be some reason to expect to see something here, but who knows? Yeah. I'm not waking up at 7 a.m. to watch it, though.
But I do love the fact that their big thing is like, tune in, we're counting down your top 10 monsters.
Yeah, that is funny.
I don't know.
Did they put out a poll or something? Did they, like, what was that about?
I don't know. I've got to imagine number one is pretty cut and dry at this point, but I am interested to hear. I think so.
What do you think it is? Like Rathian or something? Rathalos?
It's got to be Rathalos. It was the title monster of the original Monster Hunter. It's been kind of the ambassador, basically, for Monster Hunter. Like, whenever you see Monster Hunter in other franchises, Rathalos is the monster that appears in Super Smash Bros. Brawl. The Monster Hunter fighter in Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite has Rathalos armor. I mean, it's just, Rathalos has just become that kind of iconic figurehead for the franchise. I really can't imagine, I mean, there's so many monsters in Monster Hunter after 20 years, but I really can't think of anything that could justifiably take the number one spot from Wrath at this point.
Who knows? Yeah, I wouldn't be necessarily shocked if maybe like something kind of weird and unexpected, you know, kind of like crept up from behind, like something that we wouldn't even enter into our calculus. It reminds me, I remember when they revealed that Greninja had like become the most popular Pokemon according to a poll around the time X and Y came out. That was shocking to me. I was like, wow.
That's fair, yeah.
Greninja, you know, real, like, I like Greninja, but wow, you know, I think at a certain point, like, Greninja was voted more popular than Pikachu at one time. So I don't know, maybe it'll be like, hey, guess what? It's actually the Kulu Yaku or something is the most popular monster.
That freaking chicken.
So I don't know. We'll see that, but that, you know, I'll catch that probably after the fact. And you know, if we're lucky, maybe we'll get some news on some of their game projects.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, let's hit some notable releases here. We got a few things to talk about.
We do have a few things to talk about. Some very fun releases from this. I mean, fun releases every week at this point, but a couple definitely worth shouting out. First of all, within the realm of IRL stuff, if you like doing things outside of a television screen, the Animal Crossing Legos came out. Those are out. So if you want to build yourself your own little Animal Crossing village, you can do that now. I know our friend John Ebo over at the Communication Error podcast bought like the entire line.
Oh, I bet.
So yeah, those are out now. Are you getting any of those stuff?
I don't know. I don't got Lego money. We'll see.
I know you got a lot of the Lego Mario stuff. Well, I say a lot.
I would say a lot.
Some of it, yeah.
What I usually will do is I'll buy like the base set.
Yeah.
Like when they release a new like big character like Peach, Luigi, I'll buy that set, and that'll be usually about it. Bowser's got them on the way apparently.
Nice.
So, Bowser says mine are on the way. I might grab the one. I think the one with Marshall is like $24.99, and Marshall is my favorite villager of all time.
Yeah.
So I probably will get Marshall's little kit.
I may buy that entire set just for a Lego minifig Isabelle, but I don't know. I wouldn't put it past myself. But yeah, those are out this week. But in addition to that, a really cute little game from Sunsoft that we've been looking forward to just came out, Euphoria 2. And as a matter of fact, especially if you're watching us here on YouTube, after this is done, you should pop over and check out Seth's first look of Euphoria 2 right here on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, I did a video on that. The game's real cute. It's real good. I like it a lot. Big thanks to Sunsoft, who provided us a copy of the game to check out and show you all about. I'll go into a little bit more detail on it in tomorrow's episode of All In a Nintendo Podcast. But I'll just show you all real quick. This is my video on screen right here, just to show you all like how cute the game is. Like this kind of
look at Abaraki. Oh, it's so cute.
Yeah, this kind of like cute felt work sort of, you know, platformer, procedurally generated levels. It's kind of a pseudo sequel to like a 40-year-old franchise at this point. So it's really cool. It's really good. I definitely recommend you give it a shot. Check it out.
There's something just so adorably quaint about like those 3 frames per second animations that the characters have, especially when they turn around. Oh my God, it's so adorable.
Yeah. It's real good. I like it a lot. So check out Euphoria the Saga 2. Or it's weird because it's listed like a couple of different ways. Yeah. It is Euphoria the Saga 2 officially, but on the eShop, I think it's Euphoria 2 the Saga, which is funny. So
yeah. And that Euphoria spelled U-F-O-R-I-A, not E-U. I like the...
Yeah, it's like U-4, like F-O-U-R-I-A. Like it's like...
not like spelled like the Zendaya series.
It's weird, man. Yeah. So, yep, we got that. That's out. Speaking of 2, Runner 2 is also out, which is a auto runner, precision platformer, high score chasing sort of thing. Really good, like, Wii U game that they, in celebration of the game's, I think, 10th anniversary, they ported it over to Switch this past week. I've been playing a bunch of it, having a good time. There are a few people in our community who picked it up, and we're all trading times back and forth. We got a little special Game Hub forum in our Discord. So if you're a Runner 2 fan, another reason, jump into the Discord, and we can, you know, swap times back and forth. So
nice.
Super fun.
Yeah, because that's not going on enough already in the Discord. But yeah, in addition to Runner 2, we've got a game that one of our friends actually did a deep dive on. We Need to Go Deeper. I don't know too much about this, but it seems like kind of a short psychological style roguelike, or it's kind of weird. Have you played it yet, Seth?
No, I haven't checked this out yet. So shout outs to our friend Super Nintendad, who got like some extra codes for it. He did pass along a code to me to check out, and I think next week he and I are gonna link up and play. So we'll check that out and see what the deal is. But it looks to me, just on the trailer that I saw, this is like a co-op focused thing that actually looked a little bit to me like Affordable Space Adventures. On the Wii U. That's kind of what I got from it. I don't know if that's accurate or not. Super Nintendo, if you're still watching, you can let me know. But the trailer kind of reminds me of that. We got the trailer here on screen right now. You're exploring the depths in this like submersible vehicle with your friends, kind of going on little scuba adventures, finding buried treasure and stuff. But they're like the actual scuba controls and like going through, it looks a little Affordable Space Adventures-ish to me. So I don't know. We'll check it out. We'll see what's going on.
Looks almost like Pentiment, but cute.
Yeah, it is a little cute. So yeah, you see the little controls there, and so, you know, one person aims, one person like loads the ammo into it and stuff. And I don't know. Could be cool.
Sub just crashes into the coral bank there. Yeah. Looks like it could be interesting. Yeah, we'll have to check it out sometime. In addition to that, another Star Wars remake has hit the Nintendo Switch eShop, Star Wars Dark Forces. And apparently, Night Dive Studios is just really good at these, you guys, because this is getting a lot of good word from people who have tried it already.
Yeah, they always do really well with these FPS remasters. They've got a really strong engine for that.
Yeah, so Star Wars Dark Forces is out as well on the Nintendo Switch eShop. So if you're a Star Wars fan, I mean, you're eating pretty well at this point when it comes to classic Star Wars games on the Nintendo Switch. Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy, KOTOR, this, and of course, you know, we're getting the Battlefront remasters in a couple weeks. So a lot of reasons to be a fan of Far, Far Away if you are a Nintendo console owner at this point. I'm glad. I'm glad that these ports, that these games are being handled with such care, because so many, way too often in the past, we have seen games that should have been slam dunk re-releases get fumbled. So good job, you know, good on Night Dive Studios for doing right by these titles.
Yep. Yep, pretty cool. We've got an interesting collaboration. This is a Pixel Cross Story of Seasons. This is a sort of mashup of Picross and Story of Seasons. So the Pixel Cross series, I guess, like, is this fairly well-regarded series of, like, Picross RPGs. So, like, Picross is the main sort of crux of the gameplay, but it's also a Story of Seasons collab, so it works in, like, farming and relationships and stuff like this, just like in Story of Seasons. So, like, they even say seasons change, your farm expands, crops grow. So it's kind of interesting. Like, they're actually doing something kind of new with the Picross genre, you know? So that's coming out this week. Pretty cool. Yeah.
And I like the way it looks like they've got multiple Picross puzzles there that kind of fit into this bigger diorama. I like that approach.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of neat. So if you're into Picross, maybe something to keep an eye out on.
Fair enough. And admittedly, I'm not too familiar with this Cavern of Dreams game you have here.
Let me learn you, my friend. Cavern of Dreams.
Please learn me.
Really cool looking 3D platformer, very like N64 Dreamcast looking sort of thing.
It
came out on Steam last year. It's just now finally coming to Switch, and it looks great. I would really like to play it. It was well regarded on Steam. I think this is another like solo dev kind of effort, and I've had my eye on this for a little bit, and I'm excited that it's finally out on Switch. So
honestly, yeah. Like it's kind of giving me like Banjo / Psychonauts vibes a little bit.
Yeah, a little Banjo, a little Spyro, you know, it's got kind of like a dark, you know, sort of edge to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks great. I would like to play this one. So
I would too. It looks really, really cool. Yeah, it's definitely succeeding at that N64 art style. I can say it really reminds me of, you know, like Chameleon Twist and even a little Rocket on Wheel. So I'm gonna have to check this out. That looks really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cool one. It's got a little launch window discount. Also, I think it's on sale right now for like $11.99 or something like that. So you're gonna have to check it out.
Nice. And here at the end, I'm just going to shout out two big patches that came to games whose Nintendo Switch versions have up until now been fairly subpar. The MK1 Peacemaker patch did come out this past week. It was a very large patch for Nintendo Switch owners. So hopefully, in addition to adding John Cena into the game and adding this new Melina chapter for Invasions, hopefully part of that patch for Nintendo Switch owners was some fixes and optimizations, and hopefully they're continuing to make that game better for Nintendo Switch owners if you do own it on that platform. And similarly, another big patch also just got released for Nick All-Star Brawl 2. Their 1.7 patch also just released. Doesn't contain any new characters, however, a new mode, new items, and several other things have been added into this game. So I hope that similarly, like the Nintendo Switch version being not as well regarded as the other consoles, I hope this also contains some new fixes and new optimizations and patches and brings it up to have a little bit more parity with its Xbox and PlayStation brethren. Those are two games that are very, very good on other platforms, and I just hope that these big patches, you know, bring the Nintendo Switch versions to at least a little bit more of an even playing field.
Nice. Yeah, that's cool. Good, mm-hmm. good for potentially good for fighting game fans. Yeah,
mm-hmm. But that is it in terms of notable releases this week. What are you guys playing? Let us know if you're picking up Euphoria. Let us know if you're picking up if this is like I was waiting on John Cena before I picked up MK1. Let us know. Reach out to us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Podcast. If you're watching us here on YouTube, go ahead and hit the like. Hit the subscribe button, click the bell for notifications and all that stuff. If you're watching us here on Twitter, make sure to follow us before you leave there and then go over to YouTube and do all that stuff I just said. But in addition to that, we also have an amazing Discord community that we would love for you to join. We create a ton of content all the time. These weekly news roundups, the, you know, the proper episodes of All In that go live every Saturday, so many videos. But in addition to all of that, we even create exclusive content for those patrons we shouted out at the top of the show.
Yeah, we have exclusive video content, podcast content on Patreon every single week. So that's patreon.com/allinpodcast. Again, you get a 7-day free trial to the Gold Banana tier and see what all the fuss is about for yourself. If you're curious, you don't have to take our word for it. Another great way to support the show is picking up some merch, bit.ly/allinmerch. So check that out. And finally, yeah, if you're watching us here on YouTube, your likes, comments, your subs are appreciated. If you listen to us on your audio feed, review the show. 5-star rating on your podcatcher of choice is a very quick and easy way to get our show in front of the people who need to hear it. So thank you all for doing that.
Yeah, thank you all. You give us something for free, i.e., you know, a couple likes and a couple subscribes and a couple 5-star ratings. We give you something for free, i.e., 7 free days at our Golden Banana Patreon subscription. So, you know, it's a win-win for everybody. But to all of you who have become patrons, to everybody who has already dropped words, everybody who's picked up a piece of our merch at bit.ly/allinmerch, and to everybody who has even just shared our content across the internet, to each and every one of you, we would like to extend namaste.
Namaste. That's the news, everybody. Appreciate y'all for coming out. Shout outs to Red Danger. Shout outs to Bowser. Shout outs to Super Nintendad who are here in chat tonight. Here in like an hour and a half or so, we'll be playing Splatoon 3 in the community. So if y'all are watching us live and you want to hang out, again, links to the Discord are below. So you can, you know, come through and play some Splatoon with us. That should be fun. That's being helmed by the one and only Shy Guy in our community, who is actually guesting on tomorrow's episode of All In.
Big Shy Guy weekend.
Yeah, big Shy Guy weekend. So on tomorrow's episode of All In, you will hear us review Splatoon 3's Side Order DLC with Shy Guy. Great discussion with him. It will have a video version here on the YouTube channel as well. We also, in honor of Leap Day, counted down our top 5 favorite platformers that changed the way we leap. So that was a fun sort of Leap Day top 5. So tune in for that. And we're doing an indie showcase on Penny's Big Breakaway. That released, what was it, last week, I guess.
Yeah, Shadow dropped during the partner showcase.
Yeah, so big show dropping tomorrow on your podcast feed, so please be excited for that. But until next week, for myself, for Eric, we'll see you then. Bye-bye.